What a blessing to worship God with you tonight. Amen. Amen. What a joy. I told the 3 o'clock service we need to do this every night. This is so fun. We need to have Christmas every day. If you have a Bible and you want to follow me as I read the Christmas story, it's Luke chapter 2. We're not taking an offering tonight. There's boxes around the sanctuary if you want to give a Christmas offering to the Lord on your way out after service. We're going to look at the greatest event in the history of mankind. This is the night of nights. I call this the night of nights. And this is the night that would dispel the darkness and bring in the day when there would be no more night. This is the night of night that would dispel the darkness and bring in the day when there would be no more night. What a blessing that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would never perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to look at the event of Christmas, and I want to talk to you tonight about how to celebrate Christmas. So I'm going to give you the first Christmas and how they responded to it and how they celebrated that first Christmas, going back to the very first Christmas and see how they celebrated Christmas and how we should celebrate Christmas as well. I want to read beginning in verse 15, And it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us go even unto Bethlehem, and let us see the things which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it, verse 18, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things, and she pondered them in her heart. And all of the shepherds, verse 20, when they returned, they glorified and praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. How do we celebrate Christmas? How did they celebrate Christmas, the very first Christmas when Christ was born? Let me give you four ways to celebrate Christmas. Number one, we celebrate Christmas by wonder. The very word wonder means that we just wonder at the event itself. Notice back in verse 18, it says there, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I would propose to you that we should wonder at the event itself. Merely wonder at the event itself. The fact that God would send His Son into the world, that we would be struck with awe and wonder. The idea of wonder means that we're struck out of ourselves, that we're just in awe, that we're amazed, that we're overwhelmed, that we're struck with wonder and amazement. Amazement would be kind of a synonym for the word wonder, that we would be amazed and struck with awe, like a little child going to Disneyland for the first time, and just struck with wonderment and awe at all that they see. So at Christmas time, when we look at the story itself, our hearts should be filled with wonder and amazement. We should be wondering when we think of just the announcement to Mary. Go back with me in your Bible to chapter 1, and let's read it, verse 26. Chapter 1, verse 26. It says, in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee and unto a town named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, who was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came and said unto her, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at that saying, and she cast in her mind what meaning the salutation should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that was before called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I don't know about you, but when I read that story, my heart fills with wonder and amazement. The reality that an angel left heaven over 2,000 years ago and came to a little tiny hamlet, a little village called the town of Nazareth, a little nowhere place, and he visited a young teenage girl. Now, we don't know for sure how old Mary was, but it's a pretty good guess that she was in her early teens. 13, 14, or 15. And that she was a woman that loved God, devoted young girl that was really committed to God. And when Gabriel came to her, she was shocked and surprised. And Gabriel said to her that she was chosen of God, highly favored of God, and that she was going to actually have a child, and that child was going to be the Son of God. She understood that this child was going to be special. It was going to be the Savior of the world. And she said, How can this be, seeing that I know not a man? I'm a virgin. I'm not married. I can't have a baby. And Gabriel, the angel, explained that the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, would come upon you. And that which is conceived in your womb would be through the miraculous work, the agency of the Holy Spirit. For with God, all things are possible. Let those words sink down deep into your heart. All things are possible with God. The thing that fills my heart with wonder and amazement is that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. No one before him, no one after him, and no one will ever be born of a virgin. Jesus Christ is unique. He's the God-man. And what an awesome, awesome story this is to think of the reality that God came into our world, that the Word, the eternal Word, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. This is what we call the incarnation. God became a man through the womb of the Virgin Mary. And I wonder at that. I marvel at that. I also marvel at the event itself. Flip with me to chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, at the advent itself. Came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome, that all of the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So the historian Luke gives us an exact dating and time for the historic event. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. What a fitting place for the bread of life from heaven to be born. Because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused or engaged wife, who was great with child. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger, a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. So I marvel at the annunciation of the angel to this devoted young girl, Mary, and that she was willing to submit herself to the purpose and the plan of God, even though she would bear the stigma of this pregnancy out of wedlock. I marvel at the historical setting and the time of this birth. When Caesar Nero sat on the throne, and it would seem as though he was ruling the world and he commanded all the world to be taxed. In reality, he was just a puppet in the hand of the sovereign God. For Micah chapter 5, verse 2 had prophesied, And thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the nations, yet out of thee shall come forth he who is to be ruler of my people. God was going to bring the Messiah out of Bethlehem. They were living in the city of Nazareth, 90 miles to the north of Bethlehem. But the prophet spoke that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. How was God going to get Mary and Joseph all the way down to Bethlehem for the child to be born? He puts it in the heart of Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. So they had to go to the place of their ancestral birth for the enrollment for the purpose of taxation. So Joseph puts Mary in the last stages of pregnancy on a donkey. It takes her for a 90-mile donkey ride. What husband in his right mind would take his wife on a 90-mile donkey ride 9 months pregnant? You talk about inducing labor. We'll get this baby born. Come on, hop on, honey, let's go. So while they were there was no room in the inn. And I don't blame the innkeeper, you know, it was just his job. There was no room in the inn. Inns were just an open enclosure at that time, and it wasn't a very fitting place for the Son of God to be born, public place, drinking and revelry there. So a quiet, secluded stable or grotto where the animals were fed and kept would be a much more appropriate place. And so they're the Son of God, and I marvel and I wonder at the humility of his birth. God born in a stable, showing us that he came in humility, that he's approachable by any of us. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a humble stable that we can come to him in humility, the humblest of us. I marvel at that. What a blessing that is. I marvel at the angels, thirdly, that come and proclaim his birth. This is really the first Christmas service beginning in verse 8. The audience are the shepherds in verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. That's King James for freaked out. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them. In verse 10, the angel of the Lord said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Notice these words, "fear not, good tidings, great joy, all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The world needed a Savior, and God sent the Savior. "And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." So I wonder at Christmas, and this is what we need to do to celebrate Christmas. We need to wonder at the event, the Annunciation to Mary. We need to wonder at the event itself, the history, the time, the setting, the humility of his birth, the angels waking up the shepherds out in the fields of Bethlehem. And it just fills my heart with such joy to realize this actually happened. This was a historic event. Every Christmas Eve, when it gets dark Christmas Eve, I just get so excited to think about the shepherds out in the fields of Bethlehem, kind of like Menifee, you know. Kind of looked like Menifee. You can just see the shepherds out there with their field. They got the fire going. They're making s'mores, you know, and they're having a good time. And they're hanging out there, you know, cooking fire. And all of a sudden, the heavens were lit with the glory of God. And the angels filled the sky. Glory to God in the highest. Peace among men with whom God is well pleased. The angels filled the sky and announced the Savior's birth. Now, shepherds, interestingly, as far as the caste system goes at that time, they were the lowest of the low. No one lower in their caste system than the shepherds. Shepherds could not even legally testify in a courtroom. They were so despised. But yet when God announces the birth of his son, the first to hear it were the shepherds. Some feel that these shepherds might have been those who watched the temple sheep that were used for sacrifice. If that were the case, it would be quite interesting that they were the first to see the Lamb of God who would be sacrificed for the sins of the world. But the glory filled the sky, and I love their song, the message that they preached, "Fear not, for behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And then the whole of heaven were filled with a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace among men with whom God is well pleased." So just taking the event and wondering at the event, glorying in what God did that marvelous night. The second way that we celebrate Christmas is in verse 19. It is to ponder the meaning and the significance of the historic event. Notice verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary went a little deeper than wonder, and she pondered. To ponder, the word ponder literally means to put together in a row. It means to think deeply. It means to think of the meaning and the significance of the event. I kind of think of this as Mary's baby book. You mothers know that when you have a baby, you get your book out, you put baby pictures, and you write down the weight and the time the baby was born and how long it was, and you know, all the things that go around the birth of the baby, and you put, you know, when it walked and when it first spit up and what it did and all that stuff. You know, it's funny, when your babies are born, you write down all this stuff, you take all these pictures, and then you have your second baby and you take some more pictures and third baby. By the time the third or fourth baby, you're so tired, you just take one picture, stick it in there, and you're done, you know. We've got four kids. The first kid that was taken, you know, we have about 20 books of pictures. Kid number four, we got one book with three pictures in it. By then, you're so tired, you don't want to take pictures anymore. You know? This is kind of Mary's baby book, and she's just pondering, what's the meaning, what's the significance? So they go from wonder to ponder. And I want you to listen to me very carefully, because this is so important. You miss Christmas if you fail to ponder its meaning and significance. Why did God send his son at Christmas? Why did Jesus come to earth born a baby? Let me give you some reasons. Number one, God became a man in order that he might die for our sin. The number one purpose for the incarnation was that he might die for our sins, that he might become the atoning sacrifice, the Lamb of God who would carry away the sins of the world. Another reason that God became a man was that he might show us and demonstrate to us the Father's love, that in a tangible way, we could see God. Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, that you have not seen me? He that has seen me has seen the Father." When you look at Jesus Christ, you have the Father revealed, the heart of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God. We would not know God or understand God if he had not come in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. We also know that God can become now our sympathetic and compassionate high priest, that he is touched with all the feelings of our infirmities, that he knows what we're going through, that he understands because he became a man like us, that he came down to also redeem us and also to reverse the curse. Jesus came to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. The Bible says all of creation groans and travails, waiting for the world to be set back in order. And so God sent his Son into the world so that he could not only redeem sinners out of the world, but so that he could redeem the world, so that he could save the world. Because of Christmas, because of the incarnation, because God sent his son, there's hope, there's joy, there's the prospect of a brighter tomorrow. There is the hope of heaven. There's the hope that my sins can be forgiven. There's the hope that I can be in heaven with my loved ones. There's the hope of a new world coming. There's a hope that Jesus Christ is coming again and that he will establish his kingdom, that he will reign in righteousness. That's what Christmas means. And we need to ponder its meaning and significance. And our hearts can be filled with joy at Christmas. Christmas is about joy in the Lord. Even though we look around the world right now and there's heartache and there's pain and there's sorrow, we can have joy in knowing. We can have joy in knowing that God is going to come and set all things right. Amen? Amen. Jesus Christ came to redeem us and came to reverse the curse. That's what Christmas means. And I ponder its meaning. I ponder its significance. But there's a third thing that we do at Christmas to celebrate, and that's in verse 20. It says, the shepherds returned. Where did they return? Back to their sheep, back to their jobs, back to their work. They returned back to their sheep, glorifying and praising God, verse 20, for all that they had seen and heard as it was told them. The third thing that we need to do at Christmas is we need to worship. We need to wonder, we need to ponder, and we need to worship. Christmas is about worship. Praising God for giving his son, Jesus Christ, who came to save us from our sins. Christmas is about worship. Take time before you open your gifts, before you open your presents, encourage you to open the Bible, read the story, wonder at the event, ponder its significance, sing a Christmas carol, not I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe. I mean, that song's fine, but, you know, I think we can do a little better. Sing a song that will glorify and magnify and extol God. Our word worship means worth-ship. It means to ascribe to God worth. And its origin has the idea of having an opinion about God, a right opinion about God, and to express that right opinion about God, a worth-ship, to give God what is worthy of his praise. We worship God at Christmas. And when we think of Christmas, we think about the love of God. When we worship at Christmas, we see God's love in sending his son. We worship God at Christmas because we think about the grace of God in sending his son to save us by his grace. We worship God at Christmas because we think about the power of God. The incarnation, the miracle that a virgin could conceive and bear a son. We think about the wisdom of God, that God would send his son to die on the cross to save sinners like us. We think about the glory of God, that God would design salvation in such a way that he gets all the praise and he gets all the glory. And we lift our hands and our hearts to him at Christmas. And we give him all the praise. So when the shepherds departed from seeing the baby Jesus, they praised, they glorified, and worshiped God. But there's one last thing we do to celebrate Christmas. Go back to verse 17. It's proclaim. It says that when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. We wonder at the event. We ponder its meaning. We worship the Christ of Christmas. And verse 17, we proclaim to others Christ has come. Let me encourage you this Christmas to do something. Tell others Christ has come. Amen? Tell your family. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors, tell your coworkers. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great, great, marvelous, marvelous love. And Lord, we want to wonder at the event tonight, that night of nights, when Jesus Christ was born. We want to ponder its significance, that God would become a man to die for man, the creature's sin, to reveal the love of God, to redeem sinful man, to restore fallen earth and creation, to become a sympathetic and compassionate high priest, to be touched with feelings of our infirmities. A wonder of wonders. Help us to ponder its deep meaning and significance. Help us to think deeply. And help us to worship from the bottom of our hearts. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Even right now, before we leave this sanctuary tonight, Lord, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. May we praise you with all that we are and all that we have. May we proclaim to others the marvelous name of Jesus. Christ has come. May we share this message with others. May we share this message with others, God. May we leave here tonight filled with joy, filled with an overflowing, abounding joy. Fill us with joy, oh God, this Christmas joy. The joy that Anna had and Simeon had, Mary had. My soul doth magnify the Lord and rejoices in God my Savior. Lord, help us to overflow tonight with Christmas joy. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name, and everyone agreeing said, amen. Let's all stand tonight and worship the Lord.